Good morning, Lake Center Baptist Church. Pastor Caleb here. Welcome to our third online worship service. If you have not heard by now, we are going to continue to do this all the way through the month of April. And I just want to say thank you so much for your continued flexibility in this. Thank you so much for your continued support in this. And also thank you so much for your continued patience in this as we navigate these uncharted waters. I do have a few announcements that I would like to make before we get into a message this morning. This coming Friday is Good Friday. The past several years, we have had a time of communion all day here at the church from 7 a.m. to around 7 p.m. And of course, we are not going to be doing that this year because we are taking precautions. But instead of that, we are going to be doing an online time of communion. We're calling it a virtual communion, and that is going to be this coming Friday, which is Good Friday, at 7 p.m. So we're going to invite you to come back to this online time and to join us in this time of communion. We're going to encourage you to get, you know, some juice and some crackers, or if you don't have that in your house, feel free to use anything. You can use water and a piece of bread. You can use some Dr. Pepper and a candy bar. As a matter of fact, Natasha told me that she's going to be using a Butterfinger for hers. So this coming Friday at 7 p.m., join us back here online, and we are going to have a time of virtual communion as we celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. Also, a week from today is Easter. Can you believe that? Easter is here. Easter is among us. And we are not, of course, able to meet together here at the church. But here is something cool. We as a church have secured the Shangri-La parking lot. Yes, you heard that right. We are going to have a drive-in, drive-up, drive-through, whatever you want to call it, worship service outside at the parking lot of Shangri-La. Of course, we are going to continue to honor the CDC guidelines when it comes to social distancing and standing 6 feet apart. And because of that, we're going to stagger our cars every other parking spot. This will do two things. It will allow us to honor those guidelines, but at the same time, it will allow all of our people to be able to see clearly the stage that we are going to set up. So yes, we're going to have an outside outdoor worship service at the Shangri-La parking lot this coming Sunday at 10:45 a.m., weather permitting. If we see that the weather is going to be bad, we'll make a call as soon as we possibly can, and we'll simply meet back here together online. But as of now, we are planning to meet together next Sunday at 10:45 a.m. at the Shangri-La parking lot. Tell your friends about it. Tell your neighbors about it. Tell your families about it. They can drive their cars up, and it's just going to be a phenomenal time of worship as we're able to hopefully and prayerfully be able to see together as we do gather up there. I'm really, really, really excited about that. I do want to issue this reminder that if you need anything at all during this time, if you need some groceries, maybe you're missing something in your home that you need, please let us know. We have people who are waiting who would love to serve you. Please do us a favor and call the church at 918-257-5202 and let us know how we can serve you and how we can help you. Also, with that in mind, thank you so much for continuing to be the church. I say this every week, and I'll just continue to say it. The church is not a building. The building is the place where we do gather and to worship corporately, but the church is the people of God. And I just want to say thank you for continuing to be the people of God. Thank you for continuing to be the church right where you are at. Continue to reach out. Continue to text one another. Continue to call one another. Continue to serve your neighbors to the best of your ability. Continue to be the church. Thank you so much for doing that. I also want to say as well, thank you for your continued giving at this church. In order for our church to continue to function here weekly, we have to be able to pay the bills. And thank you for your continued gifts. Thank you for your continued tithes. Thank you for your continued offerings. Of course, there are three ways that you can give here at the church. You can give online by going to lakecenter.church/giving. You can mail a check to the church, or you can come by the church during office hours, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And also, just here at the church, at our mailbox, we have a drop box. Our mailbox is considered a drop box, and you can drop your gifts and tithes and offerings in that way. Thank you so much for your continued giving here to this place. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to encourage you to join me in the book of Revelation. I want us to look at verses 1 through 8. In light of all that we've been facing, in light of the fact that we have not been able to meet together, I've been thinking a lot about heaven. It's really been on my heart so much. You know, on this earth, we're going to continue to have things like the COVID virus. The COVID virus may not be around, hopefully and prayerfully, much longer, but because we do live in a fallen world, we're going to continue to have things like this. We're going to continue to have things like sickness. We're going to continue to have things like pain and things like disease. And unfortunately, we're going to continue to have loss. I mean, Jesus himself said, I believe it was in John 16:33, he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have times of uncertainty. You're going to have times of distress. We're going to face those things. But Jesus says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So in light of all that we've been facing, in light of the fact that we have not been able to meet together as a church, together corporately, I've been thinking just so much about heaven and the perfections of heaven and how heaven is going to be a place that we'll be able to worship God forever and ever and ever, and we'll never have to break up. We'll never have to disband because of disease or because of viruses and things like that. So I just want to make a few points this morning about heaven, because these are some things that I need to hear. And I hope and pray that these points about heaven, that they just really encourage your soul, because I just want to remind you that this is not the end. This is not the end. I mean, this earth is just a temporary home for us. We're just passing through this earth. It's simply a temporary place. But for followers of Christ, heaven is the end. Heaven is what we are focusing our eyes on. Heaven is the place that we are going to. It is a place of perfection. And I just want to remind us of that this morning. And I hope and pray that this just gives you some hope, that it encourages your heart and that it encourages your soul. And I just want to make a few points about heaven based on the Word of God. In heaven, there is only one God. Look at verses 1 through 3. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. I found it to be very interesting that, as you know, we have been encouraged to social distance, and there has been so many changes in our life, there have been so many things that have shut down. I believe what God has been doing for our world is he has been showing us all of the little g gods that we may have been worshiping, the little g gods that we may have been placing our faith in, or our hope in, or our little g gods that we have been placing above God. I mean, think about it. There have been so many things that have been taken away from us. I mean, we have lost so many things, so many of just the pleasures and the luxuries that we have, gone after so much. All those things are really, they're gone. I mean, think about it. Things like our routine has been taken away from us. We can worship our routine. Things like entertainment, that's been taken from us. Things like, you know, sports, things like the dependence on self, the dependence on our jobs, or the dependence on our money. And I'm not saying that those things are bad things. No, those things aren't bad things, but those are things that we can easily place above God. And even think about this, we can even place the way we worship above God. I mean, we have been, you know, we've been asked to do some things that we've never done before. I mean, this, even meeting here this morning on a camera is way out of our routine. But I believe what God is showing us and what God is calling us to do is to set him above everything that we may place our hope in. God has been really speaking to me about that. You know, am I going to depend on myself? Am I going to depend on my ways? Or am I going to depend on the things that I hold, you know, sure every single day above him? No, he is calling me to place, you know, my hope and my faith and my trust in Him and in Him alone. He wants all of us to do that. So in heaven, that's not even going to be an option, because there is only one God in heaven, and He will be worshiped, and He will be worshiped alone. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. There are no other gods in heaven. He alone is worshiped in heaven. Next, we see in Revelation chapter 21 that there is no more suffering. Look at verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's what we are going to. That's the place that we are going to. On this earth, we have disease. On this earth, we have things like the COVID virus. On this earth, we have things like hurt. We have pain. We have sickness. We have suffering. We have loss. Unfortunately, on this earth, we have death. We have suffering on this earth, and we have all those things because we live, of course, in a fallen world. And we have those things on this earth because there is sin on this earth. But in heaven, none of that is going to be there. There's no suffering in heaven. He says He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We've all had tears on this earth because of the things that we've gone through. Death shall be no more there. We'll never have to face death again. There's no mourning there. There is no crying there. There is no pain there. All the things that we have faced on this earth, they will not be there in heaven. In heaven, there is no more suffering. In heaven, all things will be made new. All the wrongs will be righted. All the pains, all the sufferings that we've had on this earth, those things will no longer be there. All things will be made new. Verses 5 through 7, and He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." I'm looking forward to that day. It's all going to be made right. It's all going to be made new. We all love to receive new things on this earth. We all love the smell maybe of a new car or a new home smell, or we love to get a new phone, or we love to get new birthday gifts or new Christmas gifts. We love to get new things, but eventually the new things that we get on this earth, what happens? They fade away. And tomorrow something else is new that is introduced to us that we go after, that we want. But in heaven, all things will be made new, and it will be new for all of eternity. Oh man, what an incredible gift that we have waiting on us, and that is the hope of eternal life. That is the hope of heaven, the hope where a place where there will be a place that all things will be made new for all of eternity. In heaven, we see as well that there will only be followers of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse 8. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And what is this referring to? This is referring to hell. The Bible talks about hell quite often, and a lot of times we can skip over these verses, but the Bible talks about these things, and we can't skip over these verses that talk about hell. You know, hell is a very real place, and hell is a place that is reserved for people who did not place their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. You see, the only way that we can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, by following after Jesus Christ, by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Jesus Himself says in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible tells us to believe on Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And whenever we believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we are to commit our lives to Him. I love what Oswald Chambers says. He says, "To believe is to commit." In other words, when we say that we are believing on Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, man, we are committing our lives to follow him. We are committing everything about us to Jesus Christ. So in heaven, there will only be followers of Christ. It is a place that is reserved for those who have placed their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. Next, in heaven, we see that there is unfathomable beauty. Skip down with me and look at verse 18 in Revelation 21. This is describing just the beauties of heaven. It says, the wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made with a single pearl. In the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And wow, that is a simple description of the beauties of heaven. And we cannot even wrap our minds around the beauties of heaven that are waiting for us. On this earth, there are a lot of beautiful things. We can walk outside and we see the beauties of nature, things like the star, things like the sky, things like the sun and the moon, and those are all things that our God has made. Of course, I get to see my beautiful wife every single day, but the things on this earth that we get to see every single day, they fail to compare with the beauties that are waiting on us, the beauties of heaven. I'm so looking forward to being able to see that one day. And those are the things that are there. Those are the things that are waiting on us. And we can't even wrap our minds around all of that. In heaven, there is an eternal community. Look at verses 22 all the way through 27. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. What's this describing? This is describing the eternal community that will be in heaven. You know, one thing that I've really missed these past several weeks is simply being with our community, being with our people, being with the people of God, singing the praises of God, and worshiping God together. And that brings me so much joy. That brings me so much satisfaction. That brings me so much peace. Because whenever we gather together as the people of God, that's a reflection of heaven. That's a reflection of what we're going to be doing in heaven for all of eternity. And because of this virus, we have had to disband. And in a sense, we have missed our community. And I am just greatly missing you. I'm greatly missing our community. I love what Jesus says. He is encouraging the disciples before he is headed to the cross. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I love that. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many, many rooms, a place where we are going to be able to be together for all of eternity. Whenever I read this passage of scripture, it reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of, you know, my freshman year and my sophomore year in college, whenever we, you know, lived in the dorms, and it was just a great time. It was such a fun community. We did life together. We had so much fun. And in a sense, that's what heaven's going to be like. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there's lots of dorm rooms. There are lots and lots of rooms. It also reminds me just of my children. You know, I love it whenever my children are home and whenever my children are sound asleep in their rooms. It just brings me so much peace whenever my children are there. And that just reminds me of our God. You know, he is preparing a room for you. He is preparing a place for you, a place where you can come and rest, a place where we can be together for all of eternity. He is preparing that room for you. He is preparing that place for you. I love Revelation 7. Picture this in your mind. Picture this eternal community in your mind. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." What's that? That's a worship service that's going to be going on in heaven. It says that all of the nations will be there, people from every tribe, people from every language, standing before the throne, standing before the Lamb, giving worship and giving honor and giving praise to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And that is an eternal community that will never have to be broken up. It's an eternal community that will never have to be disbanded. We will be there together for all of eternity. We'll hopefully and prayerfully we'll get to see each other. We'll get to recognize each other. We'll get to see our loved ones who have gone before us, our friends who have gone before us, and we'll all get to be there together in an eternal community worshiping God forever. And that brings me to this last point about heaven. In heaven, there is worship forever. There's worship forever. We'll be able to worship together forever. Continuing on in Revelation 7, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And this continues on with that eternal community, all of the nations. And this is the nations worshiping God all together. There is worship in heaven forever. One theologian says, I forgot who it was, but he says, if you do not like worship, then you're not going to like heaven, because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be giving worship and honor and praise to our God forever and ever. And we'll never have to be told that you cannot meet because of a virus that is very contagious, that is hurting people. Things like that will not be in heaven. No, we will be able to be together forever, worshiping our God forever, in a place where there is no suffering, in a place where there is unfathomable beauty, in a place where the one true God will reign forever and ever and ever, and there will be no one or no thing there above him. No, that is where we will be forever, worshiping that amazing God. So in closing, I just want to give us a few points, just to think about a few points to apply to our life. In light of all that we've been facing, in light of the fact that we have not been able to meet together, in light of the fact that eternity is closer than we think, here are some application points that I want to give us this morning. Number one is this. Let's just focus our lives on God. That's all that really matters, right? Let's focus our lives on God. Let's make him our number one priority. Let's make him our number one God. Let's place nothing above him. You know, as I said earlier, there have been some little g gods that God has revealed in my life. Maybe God has revealed some little g gods to you as you have had time to reflect, as you have had time to think. And, you know, God, he wants all of us. The Bible tells us that he is a jealous God. Why is he like that? Because he wants all of our hearts. He wants all of our souls. He doesn't want us to place anything at all above him. So let's make him our number one priority, the corporate worship of God, whenever we are able to come back together. Let's make that our number one priority, and serving his purposes and living out his word, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's difficult. Let's focus our entire lives on God. And I believe with all my heart that we will not regret it. One day, whenever we do get to heaven and we have lived our lives focusing on God, we will look back and go, man, that was worth it. It may have been difficult at times. It may have been hard at times, but man, it will so be worth it whenever we focus our entire lives on this one true God. He is worth it. Next, let's live each moment for eternity. The Bible says that our lives are like a mist, that our lives are like a vapor. It gives us other imagery like our life is like a shadow, or our lives go by as fast as, you know, rushing waters, the flood of waters. Life is short. Life goes by so very fast. Eternity is much closer than we think. Compared to our lives, eternity really is just right around the corner, ultimately for all of us. I was reading a book not too long ago, and the book said this: in 100 years, all new people. Isn't that a sobering thought to think about? 100 years, all new people. Eternity will be here so fast compared to the shortness of this life. C.S. Lewis says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. If we want our lives to make much impact for the glory and the honor and the praise of God on this earth, let's focus our lives on eternity. Let's think about heaven and live our lives for Him now. There's a song that has made great impact on my life, and it's a song that was written by my uncle. His name is Dennis Jernigan. If you don't know who he is, I just want to encourage you to jump on Google after we're done. Don't do it right now. Don't cut off right now. But after we're done, jump on Google or YouTube, or you can just type in his name, Dennis Jernigan. And I just want to encourage you to go and to search out his music. Of course, he has his own website where you can go and purchase his music. You can find him on iTunes. You can find his podcast on iTunes. You can jump on YouTube and just watch videos of him leading worship. Just an incredible, incredible anointed and gifted worship leader and songwriter. And his music has made just a profound impact on my life. But one of those songs is called I Long for the Day. And it just reminds me of all that I'm talking about this morning. And some of the lyrics to that song read like this: I long for the day when my Lord comes to take me away, whether by death, or if you come for me on a horse of white. And any way you come will be all right with me. I long to just hear you say, now is the time, child, won't you come away? Then I'll take your hand, surrendering completely to you that day. And oh, I can't contain the joy that day will bring. Forever with you, no crying there. Forever with you, no burdens, no more worldly cares. My heart is anticipating eternally with you, celebrating you. Forever with you, I long to be, forever worshiping, knowing you intimately. When you say, child, no more waiting, I'll spend forever just celebrating you. I'll see all my loved ones gone before. I'll get to be with them, laugh with them, hold them once more. There'll be no more separating. Together, we will be celebrating you. Let's live our lives focusing on God, living each moment for eternity, knowing that eternity is right around the corner. Number three, in light of all that we're talking about, in light of what we've been facing, let's tell others how they can have the hope of eternal life. Tell others how they can have the hope of eternal life. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. In other words, there are people all around us who need Jesus Christ. And maybe during this time, there might be people that you know who might be more open to the things of God. There might be people that you know who might be more open to the gospel, where 3 months ago they may have been closed off to God. They may have been closed off to the gospel. But I believe that God is going to use this virus, this pandemic, to open the eyes of people. He's going to use this pandemic to draw people back to Himself. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. You see, He wants to use you and He wants to use me to reach people with the gospel. And He is calling us to do this. You know, this coming Sunday, a week from today, is Easter. And Easter is usually that time of the year where people might attend a worship service. They might attend a church service. So this coming Sunday, invite someone to jump in their car and to follow you down towards the Shangri-La parking lot to join us in this outdoor time of worship. Be in prayer for that. Be in prayer that God would give us good weather. Be in prayer that God would impact many, many people for the glory of his name during this time. So let's tell others how they can have the hope of eternal life, because again, eternal life is right around the corner for us. And as Christians, what we are called to be doing all of the time is to be telling people how they can enter into heaven, how they can have the hope of eternal life. And this leads me to my very last point. Let's make sure that we have trusted Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin. Let's not trust our good works. Let's not trust our deeds. Let's not trust our money. No, we trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin. And because Jesus Christ has offered us the free gift of salvation, we then do good works, that we then do good deeds. We do then serve him, but we don't do those things for salvation. We do those things because of salvation, because Jesus Christ has given us the free gift of eternal life. How do you have that? How do you have the forgiveness of sin? Well, I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What's that mean? That means that we've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. And because of that, we fall short of God's standard of holiness. We fall short of God's standard of righteousness. We have messed up. And the Bible says in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve because of our sin is death. And that's talking about a death in hell. That's really what that's talking about. But Romans 6:23 has a second part. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, the only way that we have our sin forgiven is through Jesus Christ. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We recognize that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and then we confess that, and we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here that whenever we confess that we are sinners and we confess our sin to God, that he will cleanse us of our sin, that he will forgive all of our sin. That means our past sin, or the sin that we deal with today, and even future sin. He is there to forgive us. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Many of you might be even feeling guilty about some mistakes that you've made or sins of your past. Please understand that God does not see that. He does not see your past sin. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. You are loved. You are forgiven. How do you receive this free gift of salvation? Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, it means you're believing, you're calling on Jesus, you are committing your life to him, you believe in his finished work. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The only way that we can have our sin forgiven and have the hope of this eternal life, the hope of this heaven that we've been talking about this morning, is only through Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. What I want to do right now, in closing, I just want to invite you to bow your heads with me and to close your eyes. And maybe you're watching this morning or you're listening this morning and you've never done that. You've never called on Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. You've never placed your faith and your hope in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin. I just want to encourage you right now to do that. You could maybe say a prayer like this to God from the depths of your heart. God, I understand that I have sinned. God, I understand that I need a Savior. God, right now I call on the name of Jesus Christ to save me from the penalty of my sin. I believe in his finished work on the cross. I believe that by his death he paid the sacrifice for my sin. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I commit my life to follow him. Thank you, God, for saving me. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, we celebrate with you. We are excited for you because what you've just gained is the hope of heaven. You've just gained the hope of eternal life. What you've just gained is the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who will be with you forever and ever and ever, who will walk with you through the insurety of this life. We celebrate with you today. You have been transferred from death to life. You have gone from walking in darkness to walking in light, and we celebrate with you today. What an incredible, incredible decision to follow Christ today, and we celebrate that. And God, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you so much that you are on your throne in heaven as the only true God. God, we thank you that in heaven there will be no more suffering. We thank you, Father, that in heaven that all things will be made new. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ and for him making a way for us to get to heaven. God, we thank you so much for the beauty that is waiting on us in heaven. Father, we thank you so much for the eternal community that we will be able to have and that we will be able to experience forever in heaven. And Father, we thank you for the fact that we will be able to worship you forever in heaven. We will never have to be disbanded. God, we will be able to be together forever around the throne of God. And Father, we are looking forward to that day. God, but until then, Lord, help us to focus our lives on you. God, help us to live each moment for eternity, knowing that eternity is right around the corner. And Father, help us. God, use us to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Use us to share the gospel. Father, use us to see other people, Lord, to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Use us, Father, in someone else's life, God, for the glory and the honor of your name. God, we love you. Hold us together during this time. We give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. Thank you, Father, for the hope of heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Again, by way of reminder, if you need anything at all, please let us know by calling the church. Also, two more reminders. This coming Friday, Good Friday, a virtual communion. So get your grape juice or get your Dr. Pepper or your water, your candy bar, your bread, your crackers, whatever you want to use, because all of those things are symbolic. Get those things ready. And we will meet back here on this site this coming Friday at 7 p.m. Until then, please know that I'm thinking about you daily. I am praying for you daily. And I cannot wait to see you, hopefully and prayerfully, really, really soon. Love you guys. Love you guys. Love you guys. God bless.